Shout hallelujah! Shout it louder, hallelujah! I'm grateful, Lord. I am grateful, Lord. Are you grateful? I am grateful. Put your hands together to the King of Kings. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All right, we're going to do something before we go into the Word. Pick up your Bible, please. Or we read from Psalm 112. Just a verse. Psalm 112, verse 4 says, "Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness." Hallelujah. "He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." You're going to pick up somebody and you are going to talk to that individual because you are righteous, you are upright by the calling and the conversion of your soul. The Lord who bought you made you upright. Therefore, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious to you and full of compassion and righteous. Can we just pick somebody? Pick somebody. Preferably not your husband, not your wife. All right, pick somebody else. You are going to prophesy that into the life of your brother and sister this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, because you are upright by the calling of the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. There arises light in darkness. He is gracious to you and full of compassion and righteous. Say that again to your partner. Say that again. These are that scripture. And then you are going to pray together. You are going to pray together. That the light will shine in every area, any dark area, any dark part. You are going to pray and decree and declare that because he's righteous, because the blood of Jesus has washed him or her, you are upright. Therefore, let the light of the Lord arise in every darkness, in every dark area in your life. Areas that you are expecting the light to shine. May the light arise. May the light of the Lord shine. May darkness recede. May everything that is contrary to light bow. May the Lord be gracious to you. May God, who is full of compassion and righteous, visit you. Rebo bobo shataya baba. Mande bo sekere bobo bosh. Rebaba kabando elias. Oh, rekede bos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Reke baba baraba sekere bos. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, honor to your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. We worship you. We give you all the praise. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Because you have declared light in every darkness or whatever seems to be darkness, there will be testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Before we sit down, I want us to read 2-3 passages First, I want us to read 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's take the first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If we can put it on the board. So that, yeah, thank you. We read the first 7 verses. Let's read together. Go. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Amen. Second passage will be Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. Galatians 2, 19 to 20. Galatians 2, 19 to 20. Ready? Go. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. The top passage is a long one. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Romans 6, 1 to 14. Ready? Go. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We bring honor, adoration to you. We acknowledge your faithfulness, your mercy over our lives. We thank you so much, oh God, sparing us from January to this very moment. Lord, words fail us to adequately thank you for the work of grace in our hearts, for that which we are doing now because of the future. Lord, we are so grateful. Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We submit and surrender ourselves unto you this morning. We give you permission, Lord, to address us. We give you permission, Lord, to speak to our inner man. We give you permission, oh God, Father, to uproot what needs to be uprooted. We give you permission, Lord, to plant what needs to be planted. We ask, oh God, for grace and ability to comprehend your word. We pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit, oh God, to speak as your oracle. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cannot speak except you help me. So Holy Spirit, touch my lips, touch my mind, touch my spirit being. Thank you, Lord. Have your way this day. May your name be glorified. Thank you, King of Kings. In Jesus' mighty name, I prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Once again, we are welcome in Jesus' name. Can we please have a seat? I give praise to the Lord God Almighty, who has given us the privilege to be alive today to experience another Thanksgiving. Amen. Remember last Thanksgiving, last year, coronavirus was still around. You remember? So we're not free enough to do it the way we have, you know, we did the last one for this year 22. To God be the glory. I also want to give honor to the Lord for the servant of God in this house, Pastor Michael Obi and his wife, for the big heart, always seeing people being developed. We want to see men and women being raised for the Lord. Thank God for that graciousness. The Lord going to strengthen them. Right now, the I wave is short holiday. They'll soon be back. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning we'll be looking at the topic, the true you. The true you. The real you. Hallelujah. The real you. The true you. We just witnessed a wedding of two young people in our midst, coming together as husband and wife. They are now one. How many know the person, people I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So, old bachelorhood has passed, and the new experience now is married. And Tolu is now no more single, but married. This is when we are talking about this experience, the same undeniable experience is witnessed by heaven when a sinner converts into Christ. Now, we're all there to see that marriage, right? We witness it. When a soul gets converted, the Bible said there is joy where? In heaven, when a sinner repents. So it means for every single conversion, have witnesses what is happening, and there is always joy saying this one is now a member of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So there is always the past and the present. For the married, there was a time when they were single. But now they are married. There was a time when I was single, but now I am married. So Paul was writing
In fact, I woke up to yesterday night, I didn't know what I'm going to talk about. I always want to wait on the Lord. And I ask him, Lord, I drop everything. I'm not going to. There are 10,000 messages you can bring out, but I don't want anyone. Which one? What exactly? And as usual, most of the time, they were preaching to me, quoting this passage, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, to me. And I woke up with it. So I believe that is what the Lord, it could be one person that the Lord wants to speak to this morning. It could be one person. And what is that passage we read earlier on? What did he say? He says, I am what? I am now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do what? I live. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul was saying, there was a time when I was there. And then something happened that transformed me, changed me from where I was, brought me to another experience. So I became a different being because there was a transformation that happened. He said, now the life I live is not longer high, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, Paul mentioned the two parts, the past and the present, the old and the new. So, let's look at the old. The old, in verse 19 of that Galatians chapter 2, it says, for I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. For I want you to look at that word I. It's talking about the self. It's talking about the I in us that always want us to do things in our own way. That always want us to, program our life apart from God. That always want us to think we know it better than God. We want us to do it. That always want us to tell God, you take over heaven. Give me a chance. Let me rule my life here. After a while, I can come back and repent if there is any time. The high is always against God. The high, if you study and look at the scripture that talks about Lucifer before he fell, all that, he was making reference to is I. And it was brought down. So Paul said, for I, through the law, died. Paul the apostle was one of the brightest people in his time when it comes to knowing the scripture, the whole testament. When it comes to those people that can be referred to as the rabbi who graduated from the best university in his own time. He studied under the best teacher or professor, Gamaliel. So he knew what he was talking about when he was quoting the law, when he was standing for the law, when he was, persecuting the church, because he looked at them that these people were deviating from what we studied for 15 years. We know what every verse is talking about, but they are quoting a different thing. So the high was what he was referring to was the man who was pompous, the man who knew it all, the man who was full of, of his wisdom, the man who was confident in the flesh, the man who cannot be brushed aside because he knew his onions. Hallelujah. But he said, for I, through the law, died. Something made him to die to the law. Something happened that made this great man that people revered, people loved, people feared. It came to a time when he became powerless. He became a different person entirely. He said, I died through the law. To the law, that I might live to God. And if you go back to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, talks about the whole you, the whole me. What was he talking about? He said, how can we live in sin and ask for the grace of God to abound? That is the way we were. That is the way the natural man without God will live. It's just natural to live without God, wake up without God, sleep without God, do things anyway, and ask God's presence and ask God's blessings. And that's what is happening in the world today. So, now, there must be a separation from the old in order to have the new. The I in every man is the old man. And this old man is described again in the book of Romans chapter 1, 29 to 32. It talks about the works of the flesh. It talks about what the old man does. And every activity of the old man is away from God. Every activity of the old man is just self-satisfaction, self-elevation, self-pride. And everything has to do with grasping of the wind. Let's quickly read it because there's power in the word. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's read from verse 29 to 32. Romans 1:29-32. But being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, investors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, not only those who are doing it, but also those who approve, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, that is the way of the old man. All these things is what is in the old man. So it doesn't matter how low the person is, how poor the person looks like. It doesn't matter how rich, how powerful the individual may look like when it comes to social hierarchy. It may be the best, it may be a president, it may be the billionaires of all. It may be the best of all when it comes to academics. It may have everything. But all this, without Christ, all this is inside of him or her. That is the old man. And that is what brings deprivation. Deprivation. It deprives man of the presence of God, of the mercy of God. That was where Paul was. That was where Paul had been with all the fame, the power, the influence, the position, the education, the political position was one of the hindrances. With all his religious ability and sagacity, that was his position. That was where he was until something happened. And God is saying the same thing to you if you are listening this morning. It doesn't matter where you are. If Christ is not yet in you, you are the old man, an old woman. God wants to do something. God wants to bring you to what he programmed you to be in eternity past. What he programmed about you that you do not know. What he wrote down, he penned down that you have not discovered. What he has written with your name. You know, with your name tag, if only you allow him to walk in your heart. Hallelujah. So, see, the old man is all about, it's all about me, my world, my life. Let me have it my own way. It's all about the old way when it comes to religion. When I was looking at the scripture, you know, Paul here was talking about, I, through the law, died
to the law,
that I might do what? I might live for God. Now, he was a law professor in the Old Testament. That was his religion. But what is your religion? What is my religion now? You know, religion is anything that has to do with doing whatever it is to please God without God. Doing everything to appease him without following the pattern he has laid down. It can be doing good works. It could be anything. It is everything apart from God. Apart from the way God has laid down. Hallelujah. So we have in the world today so many people that says there's no God. Atheism. They don't believe there's God. That is a religion. We have those who believe that everything as a whole is God. So all the substances, all the forces, everything put together is God. So you cannot support anything. Pantheism. You have those who believe that there are so many gods. So just choose one. So snakes, goats, cows, and whatever you can mention, you know, they are gods. And that's why they worship them. The Hindus. Of course, we have those who believe in their intellect. Who believe that, look, forget about God. There's nothing like God. All that, you know, there is we focusing on how we can better the life of man. Make everything good. Whatever feels good is good. Humanism. All these are religion. And these are things that is turning people away from God. The old man goes that way. Paul said, I died. One word, separated. Death is separation from the past. When an old man, 120, dies now, he is separated from the life he has been living before. He is now somewhere. So death is the separation between the yesterday, the few minutes ago, and then the new now. So, Paul said, I died, I was separated from my past. Romans chapter 6 verse 2. Romans 6 2. That is the passage we read earlier on. It says, certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? In one word, we are already parted from sin. The nature of sin has been dealt with. That is, death separated us from the past. What we used to do, and now we are somewhere. We are now having a new experience. Hallelujah. So before two people are joined together in marriage, there must be a bygone to a single life, never to come back into it. I don't know if those of us who are married, when you sign that certificate, that's what you signed. Until death do us part. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so, what happened is this. When the goodness of God becomes on you, becomes on me, and those of us who are hearing or listening now, maybe are still on the other part, the other hood side, with all the religion, with all the, you know, activity, with all that, you know, it's all about me. I know, just let me do it the way I want to do it. When the grace of God that brings in that salvation appear to you, it will teach you how to fear God. And that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom will tell you, escape for your life. Judgment is coming. Hallelujah. And so when the goodness of God becomes on you or beckons on you, and by the grace of God, it takes grace and mercy for you to hear and to be ready to listen. And when that same grace has enabled you to listen and to hear and to understand the message of salvation, like we heard some time ago, when the seed is sown, some fall by the wayside, some among thorns, some on the rocky, and then some on the what? Prepared ground. When the grace of God allowed the seed to fall upon the prepared ground of your heart, it brings you to repentance. It makes you see, oh, so this is the life I've been living. That same grace will bring you to a place where you have a genuine repentance.
where you will now die. Because if you are not dead, you will still be in your old life. Death is what separates. You know, people fear death, right? Oh, I don't want to die. Don't worry. We all signed for it, but not yet. Praise the Lord. Maybe when you are 120, you can't escape. Hallelujah. Because that's the only thing that will separate us from here and then push us to the next room. There is only one kingdom. There is only one kingdom of God. It stretches up there and it stretches down here. And in the mansion of God, there are so many apartments. Well, don't let me use the word up. Mansion. Mansion is meant from apartment, right? There are so many mansions. You have yours. I have mine. Praise the Lord, but we are not going to realize it until that day. But for now, those who are up there are separated from those who are here. But it's still the same kingdom. It's just like your own beautiful house. Alright, the 5-bedroom. When you are in one room, you are not automatically in the other room at the same time. Are you? No, you can be. You are either here, room A or room 1, or in room B or in the living room. We are yet to have that ability to be everywhere that we want to in the twinkling of an eye until we are transformed in our bodies. Praise the Lord. Okay, so when one closes his eyes or our eyes, he leaves one room, room 1, and moves to room 2. That's what it looks like when we're talking about death. There's a translation or a transfer from a room to another room. So when one is converted, there is a transfer, a supernatural transfer from one particular wicked kingdom under the great kingdom of God. There's one difficult department headed by Satan. Hello, somebody? The devil is not ruling outside God. I want to understand. The devil and all his entity and all his followers, they are still under God and under the control of God. But his own apartment, his own jurisdiction is carved out. He's ruling his own. He's having his own people there. But when one under the mercy of God is born again, there is a supernatural transfer from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Then immediately the whole things will pass away because death has occurred. Without death that separates you from the past and put in the present, you'll still be there. Now, one thing that is dangerous is this. I don't know if that happens here. But where I came from, when you see a deadly snake that is, is already injured, but it's not fully dead, it's as poisonous and as wicked as if it's alive, fully alive. Don't go near. Because until the head is chopped off, he still have the ability to inflict and to release his venom that can take out life. So if somebody says, I'm born again, he's not born again or he's half born again, he's as dangerous as that snake. Because you are neither here nor there. It is true you are going through the process of death, but you are not truly dead. Hello, somebody. You're supposed to be dead so that you can be here. Or be alive and so remain over there. But you are neither dead or alive. So you are in between two. So, what is that talking about? That when it comes to the kingdom of God, there is no sitting in between. It's either you are born again or you are not born again. You see that you have been transformed and you say like Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
So if you are not certain of the death, if you are not sure of the crucifixion of your flesh, of the old man, today is the day to go back to the cross. I say, Lord, I think I'm seeing men like trees. And ask God for the mercy. So the old man, and the old man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The old man will always exhibit what belongs to the old man. We've read it, Romans chapter 1, 29 to 32. The old man boasts in his own strength. The old man boasts in his own ability. The old man boasts in his own wisdom. The old man dwells in the past. The old man exercises, based everything on what I know, what I have been doing, what I can do, my experience, my everything. The new man based everything on the finished work. Hallelujah. Let's go to the new man. From verse 7 of Romans chapter 6 says, for he who was dead has been freed from what? From sin. Take note, singular, not plural. He who has died has been freed. That freed means cleared. Has been cleared from sin. And the Bible says in the 1 John, one of my lovely passages, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Now if you read chapter 2 of that same 1 John chapter 2, it talks about if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Then it pictures Jesus as the advocate. But then from that chapter 1, before verse 7, it says, whoever says, I have no sin, say, he made him a liar. Because the truth is not in him. Every man born of woman without Christ is a sinner. Every man born with religion is a sinner. Until he meets the Savior, the Deliverer. Hallelujah. So, whoever is dead, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Sin, singular, is talking about the power that holds on to the soul of man. The legal authority that the devil has to hold every soul under his captivity. Any man that is not born again is under the control of the devil. He has the right, he's been given the legal right to be in charge of their lives and then to take them to hell if they don't repent. So the sin there is not talking about the individual sin that you commit. That's why it's not plural. Said the power of sin. That's why he ends this chapter. I mean, the passage we read, verse 14, says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. The power of sin have been broken. Alright, the ability for the devil to rule over every believer, whoever has believed and keeps on believing, such a person has the ability to say, no Satan, no flesh, no the world, no, I'm not going that way. Before now, before you are converted, you cannot say no. Because the master says, sit down, you sit down. He says, right, get up, you get up. It's like a robot. Say, jump, jump. Say, so, go and slap that person. Go and slap. Everything he tells you, you obey because you are under his authority. You are under his control. But the day you are born again, the day you are translated, you are transferred from his kingdom, he lost the power, he lost the influence over you. So the power of sin cannot reign as long as you say no. Because you have been given power to resist the devil. And he will flee away from you. Before then, you don't have any power to resist the devil because he's the one in charge. Now you have the power to say no. You know why God will want you to say no?
Because you were created in his own image. What is that image? Willpower. Your willpower is one of the image, this, you know, the, one of the things that is seen in God that God deposited in you. You must use it. If you don't use it, God will be looking at you. That is why he said, if two of you can, if you agree here concerning anything, if you bind anything here, is what? Is bound over there. If you lose anything here, is what? Is loose over there. Why? Your willpower. When the devil tells you, it's like you're having a dick. And he brings that ugly dreams again. And say, so you see, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this and that. You are saying, okay, I agree with you. Because it's suggestion. It cannot rule over you. It's suggesting something. It's playing on your intelligence. It's trying to see if you will agree with his suggestion. It's a bait. So if you say, yes, that thing has come back. Oh, say, yeah. And don't forget, the just shall live by his faith. So you agree with him. You just gave him a key. You just gave him authority to expand. And then to do what? To bring to pass what he suggested. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's not saying you cannot be tempted. Are you hearing me? It's not saying you are infallible. Are you hearing me? You can still fall as long as you are in this flesh. But you can say, no. Amen. I am a child of God. Amen. I have been transformed. I have been born again. Christ lives inside of me. And then he will leave you. And if he doesn't, keep on praying. Keep on resisting. He's going to flee. Because any little push, any little resistance in the name of the Lord, he can't stand it. Hello, somebody. That is what happened. The new man says, we have been, so he who has died has been freed from the control of sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. If we die with Christ, if we are separated from the old life and we are now with Christ, and we now follow, we reckon just as Christ died, all right? We also were dead in him when he died. You reckoned with his death, because that is the finished work. So if he truly died and we're dead in him, we're dead with him, rather, we also believe we shall do what? We shall also live with him. Because Christ did not only die, he resurrected. And if he resurrected, nothing can keep you down, brother. Nothing can keep you down, sister. The divine plan is that you will soar. It's not saying the enemy will not fight. Don't forget that. Because somebody will say, I thought that we merely were born again. Everything will just be free. And we will not be fighting against flesh. We will not be all this thing that is all this problem here and there. Why is it? Why must God allow it? If God doesn't allow it, you are not going to grow. You remain a baby. A child that is born. Alright? We face gradual, how do I call it? Some gradual challenges that will make that child grow up and become an adult. When a child is born, all right, at a time, maybe it's just 2 weeks, wherever you put him or her, that is where you remain. Except if he's hungry, okay, you go there. All right? After 3 months, all right, they will begin to shake because he needs all that to build up. Then gradually, he's now sitting down. Then he's now crawling. He must do all that. Now for that child to say, why should I be allowed to do all those kind of strenuous exercise? You need it to become a strong adult. You need it to become, you know, someone who will be independent of your parents as time goes on. You need to become a strong athletic man or woman. So you need to build up your muscle. God allows all those things. I keep on saying it because I know practically every one of us will face one challenge or the other. Mine is different from yours, so don't look at mine.
Yours is different from mine. We are all carrying cross.
Jesus said, "Whoever might be, whoever will be my disciple, he should do what? He should discipline himself, deny himself, carry his cross. Why not, Lord? We deny ourselves, then we don't have to carry cross. Let it just stop at. Let him deny himself or herself. You don't have to carry cross. Then follow me. No, deny yourself. Carry your cross. Cross is a symbol of death. At the same time, it's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of life. If you have no cross, if you are not carrying any cross, check it. Or go find out if truly you have been born again. If you are carrying a cross, yours may be bigger than mine, or mine may be bigger than yours. We are carrying crosses. We must carry it. You know why Jesus was allowed to carry his cross by himself? In the Roman time, whoever is known to be the offender, and after they have passed the judgment on him or her, the law says, according to the rule, the individual must carry his or her cross. It's a way of saying, behold the rebel, behold the sinner, behold he has committed felony. That is why he's going to die. So he will carry the cross and he will parade through those streets until he gets to the place of crucifixion. Cross is shame. The cross is humiliation. The cross is painful. The cross, at the same time, at the other side, is glorious. Because without the cross, there cannot be any crown. Hallelujah. If you have a cross, that shows you you have a crown. Don't lose it. Just ask for the grace to carry it to time. Don't lose the cross. Ask for grace to carry to term. Because for every cross, the cross you carry, there is a crown attached to it. Amen. Amen. The new man. The new you. We have seen the old you. The old me. The new you. So that's what we are reading now in that Romans chapter 6. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin. How many times? Once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise. Everybody say likewise. Likewise. Everybody say likewise. Likewise. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be how? Dead. Indeed. You know what he's saying? Look. Die actual death. Reckon yourself to be what? To be dead indeed to sin. Not a partial death. Like that snake that is half alive, half dead. Say, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to who? To God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In one word, when sin is beckoning, when temptation comes, because this suit, this body, all right, still attracts, still, it's carrying some things, some particles, something that has to do with the earth. And so temptation may come. The enemy may try to try you. There may be some, buffeting. There may be some, attacks. Maybe it's a lot of things. But you don't give in to them. Because you are now truly dead to sin and alive unto who? To Christ Jesus. You are alive in Christ. So Christ is our example. Verses 8 to 10. But you have to see yourself as brand new person. So you have to embrace the new life. Verse 11. Reckon yourself. But there is a caution. Everybody look into your Bible. There is a caution in verses 12 and 13. I want to look at that caution. Can you look at verse 12? I want us to read aloud. There is a caution. The first caution. Therefore, do not. That is the first caution. Therefore, do not. Do what? Let sin reign in your mortal bodies. One word,
it's possible to allow it. It's possible to open the door. It's possible to give in. It's possible not to be alert. It's possible to be in slumbering position, and then the enemy, you know, just come in and say, do not. It's a caution. That is the first caution. Do not let sin reign where? In your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And there are, you know, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan has no new tricks. Everything summed up in that three. Jesus was tempted by those in the garden. That was the same system that brought down Adam and Eve. And he used it on Jesus. Jesus won. And he's using it today all over the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And people are falling. So, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. The second caution, verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Verse 12. Do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin. So, those two cautions, very important, brethren. And to that, Paul was saying, I want us to look at two, three scriptures very carefully. Let's first read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Don't forget that he already said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the only Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And yet, how can somebody die? And then he's making another statement in 1 Corinthians 15, 31. What did he say there? What did he say? 1 Corinthians 15, there is just a phrase. That is it. He said, I die daily. I've been crucified. One word, I'm dead. When I met with Christ, when that encounter happened, I died. The old man died. And Christ came into me. But he's now saying here, I die daily. What does it mean? Do people die twice? He died once, but it's now saying, I die daily. One word, what he's saying is that I want to collaborate that with a passage of the scripture for us to understand what he's saying there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let us read from verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 14. What does it say? Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Like he was talking to the Thessalonians. So I give thanks for you all. Your life. You diffuse the fragrance in so much that the people in Achaia, they knew Jesus. In such a short time, your life became an influence. They became born again. Not only that, you are not spreading the gospel only in your city. You are spread the gospel elsewhere. Not only by mouth, but your life. Do talk about the love of God. Verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Take note of verse 16. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for all these things? You know what he's saying? When he said, I die daily, he said, look, this walk with Christ has brought me to the position where I have to diffuse the fragrance of Christ daily, everywhere. To those who are born again, they see this fragrance. They inhale this fragrance. They smell this fragrance of Christ's love and mercy. They embrace it. So it is life, you know, leading to life, leading to their continuous walking and moving and living in Christ. But to those who are perishing, this same fragrance, instead of bringing them sweet aroma, to them is the aroma of death, because they rejected the truth. So he's bringing the aroma of death unto death because of their disbelief, because of their rejection of the truth. So instead of the truth bringing them life, you know, because they rejected the truth, the opposite of truth is lie, and they have embraced lie. And instead of allowing Jesus to rule and to reign in their life, they have given him to the devil. They are let out, you know, their body as a temple or a means through which the enemy could use them as vessels or instrument of ungodliness, like we saw in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 32. So to those who are being saved, to the believer, the aroma of Christ is being diffused. When they hear us, when they see us, when they, like they saw the believers in Thessalonica, oh, the aroma of life, love was beaming out, unity, understand them, the fear of God. Wow, to the believers, that was helping them in life and unto life. They were growing in the truth, and that unites them together to run the race that is set before them. But to those who rejected the truth, what they smell, what is coming to them, though it is aroma of life to some people, it is aroma of death to them. And that's why they do oftentimes, they persecute, they are ready to kill, they are ready to do anything because of the truth that is gone out. I pray that the Holy Spirit will make us understand. In the name of Jesus. So now, brethren, haven't been born again, haven't been translated, and haven't experienced what Paul experienced, said, I have been crucified. It's now calling for daily crucifixion or death. In one word, there are things you will not do. There are things you have to say no to. And the more you are saying no to them, your flesh is dying. Your flesh is saying, no, I don't want that. The flesh wants something else. Want easiness. Want the things of the world. So, in not giving into the flesh, you cut it off. The flesh feels the pain, feels the anguish, feels the humiliation, feels whatever. So, there is always death. Apart from other interpretation that has to do with Paul, because of preaching the gospel, persecution followed. They are persecuted everywhere, you know, stone them, put them in prison, do a lot of things, you know, to those who are not born again, aroma of death. Whenever they see them, say, hey, those people are here. Those people, those funny people, they are here. Those preachers of whatever they call them, that have turned the world upside down. Let's get them out of this city. So, but to those who are being saved, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you are under grace. Back to our tests. And that is Romans chapter 6. Right? Romans chapter 6. It says, sorry, I want to be there so that I can. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Say, for sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. Because he already says something in verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin.
Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over me. For I am not under the law, but under grace. Under what? Grace. And the grace of God that bringeth down salvation has appeared to me and has appeared to all men. And what is it teaching? Teaching us to do what? Teaching us to do what? Tell us to shun, to reject every ungodliness, every ungodly life, every unfaithful life, and to embrace Christ. You are under grace and not under the law. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You have been empowered to live for God. Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who lives. Take note of that. Say, no longer, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. That is what makes the difference. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. By faith means, based on if Jesus died, if he truly died, and then his death brought cessation, the end to sin, to the power that enslaved us, and he did not remain there, and truly he resurrected from the grave, and he ascended to heaven. If truly that happened, and he says we're dead with him, all right, we died with him, and then he says we shall also live with him. It means that if we truly were dead with him, now that we are alive in him, we should also possess the power. The power to say no to sin. The power to say no to self. The power to say no to the world. Because it is Christ that lives in us now, a new master. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, the difference between the first master and this master, Jesus. The first master happened to be a dictator. The devil is a dictator. Sit down, get up, go over there, go and kill that person. Go and buy ammunition, go and kill people. Go and do this, go and do that, and they have to obey. It's a detector. And it's all there, out there. His purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But this new master will not force you. He will compel you. He will speak to your heart. Son, I want you to do that. Daughter, I want you to rise. If you can only do that, that will help you. That will help that sister. Can you pray? Rise up and pray. Can you do this? He doesn't force anyone. He told the disciple before he left, say, henceforth, I call you no more. You are not servants, but my friends. You don't command friends, right? You love on them, you share with them because you see them as equal. But your servant, tell them, hey, open the gate. Watch that car. Go and do that. Go and do this. Say, no, we are not slaves. Say, we are sons, we are friends. As I round up, now in essence, this is talking about our sanctification. Talking about there's need for us daily to set ourselves apart. If we have to die daily, it's talking about daily crucifixion. It's talking about daily setting ourselves apart, sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23-24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. What does it say? 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. Now may the God of peace himself, not the angels. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Other versions say holy. Holy, not one part of me. God is looking at a whole Emmanuel. sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He didn't say you will do it. He didn't say you have the power to do it. He said he will do it. He says he will be the one to sanctify you wholly. Your body, your soul, your spirit. So all I need to do is, Lord, here am I. I cried yesterday, Lord. Lord, except you help me. Except you help me, Lord. And if I have 20 opportunities anywhere, I still feel the same thing. I don't know why. I feel I'm not adequate. I feel like, Lord, there is nothing except you help me. Amen. So he's talking about, when he talks about the sanctification, the setting apart, say, God wants to touch my mind, your thinking. We have to be mature. 1 Corinthians 14:20. In our thinking, he wants us to mature. Not thinking as children, not thinking as babes. You know, children, whenever you see 2-3 children coming together and they have just one toy, guess what will happen? What will happen? You will see self-centeredness, you will see ego, you will see fighting, you will see quarrel. It's mine, give it to me, it's mine. Right? Because they are children. Alright? But an adult comes in between them and says, okay, alright, okay, can we, let's have three instead of only one. Three of you, okay, or sometimes we say, okay, let's Jay play with this. After a while, you give it to John. After that, you give it to Mary. And then he's there to supervise and to help them to go through that process, right? So in our thinking, we should be matured. Can someone read that 1 Corinthians 14:20? Brethren? Okay. Okay. In understanding, be mature. Talking about our minds. So, we need that touch in our minds. Second area, our lips. That is where most of our problem. You see, the one that we are not able to say out and it's internal. Nobody sees that. You don't see what I'm thinking, right? That's between me and God. But really about the one that, yesterday I was trying to boil egg. So, I went to boil 2 eggs, right? I picked the first one from the fridge. Then the second one accidentally fell. Pow! Oh, wow. I lost it. Alright? So, I still went for the another one. And I was process of boiling that. But then the egg that was broken cannot look like the whole. There is a crack. There is the releasing of the white part, the yellow, everything, the embryo, everything. So, it's not edible. So I can't cook that. So it's worth nothing other than just clean the place, put it in trash. Well spoken goes a long way. If God can help us with our tongue, we'll be so holy. And we'll so build up one another. But oftentimes, this thing causes a lot of problem. Ephesians 4:29. What we say, how we say it. He's saying, let there be no unwholesome talk. Shall we read Ephesians 4:29? Anybody? Ephesians 4. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So what he's saying now that the new man, the new you, who is the true you, will be the one that's not only thinking right as mature, but also speaking edifying words. Words that builds people. Words that brings encouragement. Words that heals. Words that restores. Not that when I see A, I talk about B. Don't mind
if you see what you know, so person is doing. Anyway, I just want to be careful, you know. And then when we now see, we now talk about what we know. We now talk about what B is doing to see. When we do that, we are sowing corrupt seeds. And may God help us. It shows that we are not a defined body. You know why? The person that heard you, even if the person you are talking about never hear, all right? The person that heard you will never be defined by that word. And the way I always think is this: if you are telling me about somebody is doing this, is doing that, then by nature, I'm sorry, I'm learning to be out. I'm introvert. I'm learning to, how are you? How are you doing? But when I see that in you, I will move a little bit back, because if you are telling me about somebody, I've said this before, that so person is this, is that, then you are going to tell another person about me. What you have just told me is that, look, I am in position, in one word, I have ability to gossip. But the Bible says we are salt. You know what salt does? That is only one commodity that bears the name salt all over the world. And that has the power to do what salt does. Salt preserves. Salt changes tastes. Salt, you know, suits. Salt, you know, what else? Give it whatever. But the name is salt. There may be different kind of salt like we have in our house. You might say Himalayan, you know, Himalayan salt. You see the sea salt. All kinds of, what it is just salt, right? And if it's the right salt, it will do what it's meant to do. Put a little in your soup, it will change the taste. But if it is not salt and it is called salt, if you like, take 2 cups of that ingredient, pour into your soup, mix it. Those who cook okoroko. Put 2 cups of that ingredient called salt. Turn it. It's going to still be sour. Oh, it's not enough. Put more. Because it's not salt. If it is salt, you need just little quantity. And it will do its job. If you're a child of God, all the Lord needs in that office is just one person who is faithful, who is prayerful, who is sensitive, who is careful, who is ready to say, Lord, I have been crucified with Christ. I am going to shine forth your glory in this place. And you not join them to do what they are doing. Break time. What do they use break time to do? Don't mind that manager. See the way he was pushing me here and there. You think I am a fool? I'm not a fool. I'm not going to do that. No, follow. You are not sowing the right seed. The manager may be wrong. He's not a child of God. But you don't join them, do what they are doing. Because that will not present you well as salt. You cannot, following they come and say, Jesus saves. When you have joined them in their group, gossiping, you can't do that. So, check our tongue. The last that we need to do, because we have been transferred or translated into the kingdom of God, and as a new vessel, according to Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verses 20 to 21, we must be praying in the Holy Ghost. We must keep ourselves in one thing that shows who we are. Keep yourself in the love of God. Praying. If you are praying all kinds of prayer, thank God for Mount Zion. We pray, we can bring down fire, bring, speak in tongues, and we do all that. If we do not have love, it's nonsense. There are so many churches, some pray more than us, right? Some worship more than us. Some do so many great things. In fact, we are praying, we begin to have millionaires. Already we are millionaires spiritually. We are all millionaires, amen? We want to see God begin to raise up
That's my prayer. I always pray it when I was in Nigeria.
When we started that church, we were just 18 adults.
All right? And only one person had a car. Only one person. I was using Futuajin as a pastor. And God says, start prophesying. Start prophesying what you want. Mama is you are a witness. Start prophesying. Lord, in this church, we are going to fill the hell. We are going to this role. We are going to, you know, jam-pack the road with all our cars, and they'll be calling us when we are in the service. Please come. Can you remove your car from the road? And there's only one person having a car. Praise the Lord. And in 9 years, we had 2 millionaires. In 9 years. So, I am looking at God raising up millionaires here. They are coming from outside now. I agree with the senior pastor. They are coming from outside. But from here also, we should have people who will say, Pastor, that project, okay, 3 of us, we are handling it. Or my family is handling that. What stops us from having that? Amen? Amen. As we yearn for spiritual things, spiritual will give birth to the physical. Amen. Amen. Let's read Jude verses 20-21. And then we close. Jude 20:21. Jude is the last book before Revelation. Don't go to Genesis. Okay. Thank you so much. What did he say we should be doing? 2 commands. We should do what? We should be praying in the Holy Ghost. Alright? And then we should also do what? We should keep ourselves in the love of God. And while we are doing those 2 things, we should be doing what? Looking for the mercy. Ah, Lord, have mercy on us. We need God's mercy every day. So that when he comes, none of us will be a castaway. We're already in him, all right? We'll not be careless. We'll not be careless. We'll not let down the guard. We'll build, encourage, build others. Encourage others. We'll be fire and not fire quencher. We'll be pillars and not caterpillars. Know what caterpillar does? If you have to tear down any building, it doesn't take, we didn't go back there within 2 hours, 3 hours, everything's down. But if you want to build that same building, they will tell you it's going to take you 6 months. It takes time to build, but it's so easy to tear down. May God help us to build up one another. The true you. We still have the old man operating inside of us? Or are we still in that kingdom? That department, I always, you know, categorize the department. Whatever the sphere that the devil is operating from and in is a problematic department under the great organization of God. Under the kingdom of God. He is doing what he's doing by permission. Don't worry. A time is coming when he's going to be judged. He's not above God. He's not outside there that no one can catch him or no one can bring him to judgment. No, God already has a time set. But that is a problematic department under the kingdom of God. Just as you have in any organization, in any business. All right? Maybe production department is the problematic one. Or maybe it's the technical area. Maybe it's the finance. All other areas, they are doing fine. But this area, the production is always late. You know, it doesn't matter. People, there, what is happening? Are you working at all? There is always a problem in one department. So a problematic department is what the area the devil is manning. God oversees. He's seeing him, what he's doing. And because you are no more in that department, you have power to say no to whatever he suggests. But if you are not yet born again, you cannot say no. You are already in that department. If you don't obey the instructions of whoever is the CEO or the manager, or you know, they fire you. That's why the devil does whatever he likes with his own children. When I say his own children, those who are not born again. But I will say, like the Thessalonians, as we round up, like Paul said to the Thessalonians, said, I thank God. We give thanks to God always for you. Always for you all. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father. Shall we please rise up? Are you here this morning? You are saying, I want to get out of that department. I want to get out of the rule and the reign and the control of the devil. I want to be transferred into the kingdom of God. I want to be a child of God. I want to be in a place where I can say no to whatever the enemy is suggesting, whatever he has been doing. I don't want sin to reign in my body anymore. I don't want sin to control me. I don't want the enemy to take up, to have upper hand in my life. You can be free. You can have a taste of heaven. You can be forgiven. It's only a twinkle of an eye. If only you can acknowledge that Jesus died for you. He died in your place. He died so that you can be free from the grip of sin and from the control of Satan himself, so that you'll be a child of God, one who can say no to the enemy. Let's close our eyes, please, as we begin to thank God. If you're a child of God, they knew you, and to pray that God will help you, that through you also, like Paul said, that through me, O God, let the aroma, the good aroma be diffused through me to the entire world. Diffuse your aroma through me. Let people, oh God, Father, taste the beauty of Christ in me through the life I live. As a child of God, pray. But if you are not yet a child of God, I'm not saying if you are not coming to church, you may be coming to church, you may have a Bible, you may have a Christian name, but if you are not yet born again and your sins are not yet forgiven, or you are not sure you are going to heaven, it's an opportunity for you today to say, Lord, here am I. Have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I ask for your mercy. You can ask him, Lord Jesus, I ask for your mercy today. Jesus, I take you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't want to be controlled by the devil. I don't want to go to hell with him. Lord, deliver me from the power of sin. Deliver me from the power and all the activity of the wickedness of the wicked. Make me a child of God. I heard and I believe that you died for me, and that your death, brings an end to all that the enemy does, the devil does, and that by believing you, by accepting you today, I will automatically be free from the power of sin. I'll be free from the power of the devil. I will have eternal life. I will be your friend. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I confess that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. Come into my heart, Jesus. As you do that, believe that God has heard you. Believe that Jesus has forgiven you your sins. Believe that he is coming into you, into your heart right now, as you open your heart, genuinely, is going to set you free. Hallelujah. 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 I surrender. I surrender. Unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Be like Jesus, like him in his likeness. Be like Jesus, like him in my walk. Be like Jesus in his beauty. Be like Jesus every day, every day. Be like Jesus, like him in his likeness. Be like Jesus, like him in my home. Be like Jesus in his beauty. Be like Jesus every day.
Pastor Victor, come.